We often think about history through these, grand narratives, the really big events that shape whole nations.
Mm-hmm, the headlines.
Right. But sometimes it's actually in the specific individual stories where you find the most, well, the most revealing truths.
That sounds about right.
And that's exactly where we're headed today. Into a really compelling and frankly, quite troubling situation that's unfolding with a German savings bank.
Yes, we're taking a deep dive into this ongoing public and political debate surrounding the Sparkasse-Hagen. It's all about how it's dealing with its past, specifically during the Nazi era. And this isn't just about, dusty old archives. It's actually a live legal battle. It's raising some pretty fundamental questions about historical accountability right here, right now.
Exactly. So our goal today, as we kind of unpack our sources here, is to really try and understand the complexities, the intricacies of this particular case involving the Sparkasse-Hagen.
Yep.
But we also want to step back a bit, try and see the bigger picture. How are German banks, generally confronting or maybe not fully confronting this very difficult period in their history?
And the catalyst, the heart of this current discussion, as our sources really detail, it's this legal dispute. It's between a Jewish descendant and the Sparkasse-Hagen itself.
Okay.
It concerns a savings account belonging to his great-grandfather. We know the family, they had to flee to Switzerland during the Nazi regime.
Right.
But their funds, tragically, just remain stuck in the bank.
Wow. Okay, let's really get into the specifics then of this legal battle. What are the sort of crucial details we need to grasp?
Well, the central point is this specific savings account held at Sparkasse-Hagen. Back in 1932, 38,000 Reichsmark were deposited.
Which is a lot of money then.
A huge amount, yeah. Intended as a dowry, really significant security for a family at that time. Then, of course, after 1933, Nazi power rises and these horrific anti-Semitic laws come into effect.
Mm-hmm.
And a substantial portion of those funds gets seized, just taken.
So you have a family fleeing persecution, losing not just their home, their safety, but also their financial lifeline. It's devastating. What exactly is the Sparkasse-Hagen's position on this now?
Well, the Sparkasse, they maintain that the account was officially closed back in 1937.
Okay.
However, and this is the core of the dispute, the descendant argues that the documentation they have doesn't definitively prove this closure.
Oh, okay.
And this is where it gets really sticky, because he contends the bank is actually denying access to the various historical documents that could clarify what truly happened to those funds.
That must be incredibly frustrating for him. I mean, facing what sounds like a brick wall, essentially. So where does this legal case actually stand right now?
The case is currently being heard at the Oberlandesgericht Hamm.
Okay, so that's a higher regional court in Germany.
Exactly, which tells you something about the seriousness and, how far this legal challenge has progressed. A decision isn't expected until May of 2025.
Wow, still some time then.
Yes. And the Sparkasse's legal argument, it really hinges on two main points. First, the statute of limitations basically saying, too much time has passed to make a claim.
Right. The standard legal defense.
And second, their assertion that, yes, the account definitely was closed back in 1937.
But it sounds like for the descendant and his supporters, this is clearly much more than just a dry legal matter. There's a deeper issue here, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. You have historians, the descendants themselves, they're advocating for what they see as moral and financial restitution.
Okay.
Their argument is essentially that, look, legal technicality shouldn't be used as a shield to avoid acknowledging these historical injustices and the very real financial harm that resulted from them.
Hmm. And this brings us to the significant criticism that seems to be directed at Sparkasse-Hagen's whole approach here. Hmm. It sounds like they're under quite a bit of scrutiny.
They really are. Sylvia Lerman, she's the anti-Semitism commissioner for North Rhine-Westphalia.
Okay.
She's described the Sparkasse's behavior quite pointedly as insensitive.
That's strong language from an official like that.
It is. And she suggests it's not just about politeness, It often points to a deeper institutional defensiveness, maybe a reluctance to fully face the potential consequences, financial, reputational, of admitting past wrongdoing.
Right.
So she's calling for a proper scholarly reappraisal of the bank's Nazi past. She emphasizes this lack of personal engagement, the sort of cold, formal way victims' descendants are treated. She actually identifies a real blind spot in how they're handling their own history.
A blind spot. That really captures it, doesn't it? This potential for institutions to maybe unconsciously, maybe deliberately avoid looking at uncomfortable truths.
Exactly.
And it's not just the Anti-Semitism Commissioner raising these concerns, is it? Others are involved too.
No, not at all. We're hearing from representatives from the Jewish community, the Auschwitz Committee as well. They've also voiced very strong criticism.
And what are they saying specifically?
They're accusing the Sparkass of essentially keeping files on Jewish accounts from the Nazi era locked away, inaccessible. And using these legal technicalities, we talked about statute of limitations, the alleged closure to just reject descendants, instead of actually taking responsibility for what happened back then. That accusation of withholding information is particularly serious.
Yeah, that really strikes a nerve. Which leads us straight to this crucial question of transparency, doesn't it? Has there been a genuine effort to allow, you know, scholarly review of their past actions? What do the sources say about that?
Well, our sources do indicate that back in the 1990s, the Sparkasse-Hagen did present some files related to Jewish accounts. They were put in the archive of the press.
Okay. So there was some move towards openness.
Some move, yes. However, and this seems to be the critical point now, a complete disclosure and a truly thorough academic examination, that just hasn't happened. The criticism is that this initial gesture, well, it wasn't really followed up with the necessary depth and ongoing openness.
Right. And what's the Sparkasse's reason for, you know, not providing full access to these historical records now? What's their justification?
Their main arguments are data protection and banking secrecy.
Data protection?
Yeah.
From the 1930s.
Exactly. And as our sources point out, critics find these arguments, frankly, incomprehensible, even disrespectful to the victims of Nazi expropriation.
I can see why.
The prevailing view among critics is that the moral imperative here, the need to address this profound historical injustice, surely that should outweigh these kinds of concerns, especially given the context we're talking about, forced dispossession under a horrific regime.
It really throws the priorities into sharp relief. It also sounds like this Sparkasse-Hagen situation, unfortunately, might not be an isolated case. Our sources seem to suggest it could be indicative of a broader pattern within the German banking sector.
That's a really key insight from the material, yes. Sparkasse-Hagen is kind of positioned as an example, perhaps representative, of a wider insufficient engagement with the Nazi past that might exist within many German banks and savings banks.
So a general lack of thorough reckoning across the board.
That's the criticism, yeah. That there hasn't been a consistent and, you know, deep enough examination everywhere.
But it's important then to also acknowledge our sources do mention some institutions that have taken a different path, right? A more proactive approach.
Yes, absolutely crucial to note that. It's not uniform. The Sparkasse Werra-Meisner, Sparkasse Aurich Norden, Sparkasse Münsterland Ost, and also the Staatssparkasse Nürnberg. These are specifically mentioned as examples.
Yep.
They're savings banks that have actually proactively undertaken research into their own Nazi-era history.
So it is possible.
It clearly shows it's possible for these institutions to confront their past in a more transparent, more scholarly way. Our sources even nod towards broader academic work on this. Books, questions like, what freedom did Sparkasse actually have during the Nazi era? It suggests there's a wider field of study here.
And what did these more proactive banks do differently? Was it about commissioning independent research?
That seems to be a key factor, yes. Commissioning independent historians and, importantly, making the findings public, warts and all.
Right. And conversely, it seems some other banks have had a particularly difficult time grappling with this history.
Yes. The Frankfurter Sparkasse is specifically mentioned. The source describes its handling of its Nazi past as rather inglorious.
Inglorious,
wait. Yeah. It references a Streit die Bewertung der NS-Geschichte der Frankfurter Sparkasse, which translates to a dispute or controversy over the assessment of its Nazi-era history.
So internal conflict or public disagreement about how to frame that past.
Exactly. While the source doesn't dive into all the details, it clearly suggests significant disagreement or controversy surrounding their efforts, or lack thereof, to address that period. This unevenness across the sector really underscores the different paths being taken.
Okay, so as we sort of pull all these threads together now, what are the most important things for us as listeners to really take away from this deep dive, looking at the Sparkasse-Hagen case and that broader context?
Well, I think the central tension is really clear. It's this clash, isn't it, between, on the one hand, legal arguments like the statute of limitations, procedural things, and on the other hand, this undeniable historical and, frankly, moral responsibility to address the lasting consequences of actions taken during the Nazi era.
Right. Law versus ethics, almost.
In a way, yes. And there's clearly a public and political expectation now for a much more comprehensive, more self-critical examination of the role banks played during that horrific period.
That pressure seems to be building.
It does. And the Sparkus Hagen case, it really just throws a spotlight on these persistent shortcomings we've discussed. Mm. Issues with transparency, with empathy, and perhaps a lack of willingness to really engage in thorough, independent, scholarly investigation when it comes to the financial legacies of the Nazi era.
Yeah.
The fact that this legal battle is still going on decades later, and it's accompanied by these serious accusations of withheld information and insensitive treatment, I mean, that speaks volumes about the challenges that still remain.
It certainly does.
Yeah.
It really leaves you thinking about some quite profound questions, actually. You know, what responsibility do institutions truly bear for historical injustices committed decades ago? Especially when those injustices had such direct, lasting financial consequences for victims and their families, their descendants. Mm. And how can these institutions possibly navigate the complexities of their, you know, current legal obligations, while also fulfilling what many people would see as a pretty clear moral imperative, the need to acknowledge and properly address past wrongs?
Those are the core questions, aren't they?
Yeah. It feels very much like this story and the much broader reckoning it represents is really far from over.